As the parents of young children, my wife and I have found ourselves on occasion trying to comfort our children because they are afraid of the dark. In response to this fear of the dark, my wife always reminds our children of a simple truth. She tells them that there is nothing in the dark that is not already there in the light. In other words, the darkness adds nothing to reality. The darkness does not bring the presence of any new creature or any new evil or any new harm. If there is no anxiety about lying in our beds alone in the light, then there is no reason to fear the same bed in the dark. There is nothing present in the dark that is not already present in the light. This statement expresses the truth that darkness cannot change reality. It cannot change our surroundings. It cannot alter the substance of what is present. However, in spite of this truth, darkness nevertheless causes fear and anxiety. While the darkness does not change reality, it does change our perception of reality. A room may remain the same whether the light is on or off, but a room's appearance is fundamentally altered. This is the power of darkness. It has the power to change our perspective, to alter the appearance of our world, to affect how we perceive our surroundings. Neither darkness nor light can change reality, but both can change our perspective of reality. And this change in perspective is quite evident in our gospel lesson for this day. When a life-threatening storm arises so that all in the boat are about to perish, the disciples cry out in utter fear and desperation. However, Jesus reacts to the same storm by sleeping on a pillow. Both the disciples and Jesus are confronted with the same adversity, the same storm, the same reality. However, their perspectives of reality are as different as night and day. The disciples are full of fear, but Jesus rests on the soft pillows of faith. Indeed, after rebuking the wind and calming the waves, Jesus chastises his disciples, saying, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" For Jesus, fear and faith are utterly opposed to one another. Fear proceeds from a lack of faith, but faith is that which casts out fear and triumphs over anxiety. Fear and faith are two different perspectives of the same storm. Both fear and faith see the same storm. They gaze at the same reality, but they look with different eyes. What fear sees in the darkness as evil and overwhelming, faith sees in the light as an easy yoke and a small burden. Why are you afraid? Jesus' question suggests that there is no good reason for the disciples to be afraid. Fear does not flow from the storm. It does not flow from reality or adversity. Rather, fear flows from the disciples' perception of reality. The disciples are afraid because they see everything from the perspective of the present. They see things as they are merely at the present moment. They see the strength of the winds, the awesome power of the waves. They see nothing but danger and peril and death. And this is the origin of their fear. They see things only as they relate to themselves in the present moment. Not only do the disciples see the strength of the waves, but they also see the weakness of their own boat. Not only do they see the power of the waves, but also the powerlessness of their own hands. In comparison to the disciples' puny effort, the wind and the waves appear evil, overwhelming, utterly invincible. And this is the darkness of unbelief. Fear flows from such a selfish perspective. It proceeds from eyes that are unable to look beyond our present peril. The fearful man only sees what he himself lacks at the present moment. He sees nothing but his own weakness, his own suffering, his own limitations, his own desperation. And in comparison to his own present circumstances, the storms of adversity, the winds of evil, the waves of death, these seem overwhelming burdens and invincible foes. This is the veil of darkness the devil seeks to cast over our eyes. He wants us to define reality based upon how it appears in the present moment. This is the veil of darkness that he casts over Adam and Eve in the beginning. Adam and Eve partake of the forbidden fruit because the devil convinces them to examine their own lives from a different perspective. Instead of seeing what God promises to give them in the future, Adam and Eve see only what they lack at the present moment. And so in place of faith, the devil inspires fear. In place of the light, he offers darkness. Like the darkness, the devil cannot change reality, but he can certainly alter our perception of reality. And this, I think, is the essence of the devil's power. He cannot change the way things are, but he can change the way they appear. And so he makes evil look good, and he makes good look evil. He makes sin appear righteous, and he makes righteousness appear to be sin. He makes the work of Christ among us seem weak and insignificant, but the work of the grave to be overwhelming and invincible. He tempts us to define reality based upon what we lack in the present moment. The devil would have us see only our lack of wealth and prosperity, our lack of health, our lack of peace and security, our lack of faithfulness, our lack of fulfillment. Such a selfish, limited perspective inspires nothing but fear and anxiety and chaos. Why are you afraid? The disciples are in peril, not merely because of the storm, but especially because of their darkened minds. They see the storm from merely the perspective of the present. They define the world based upon what they lack in the present moment. They see nothing but their lack of strength, their lack of security, their lack of their own adversity and desperation. However, Christ our Lord faces the same storm. He experiences the same reality. He beholds the same danger, the same threat, the same peril, and yet he does so while resting on a pillow. Jesus sees with different eyes. He confronts the adversity from a different perspective. While the disciples are plagued by darkness, Jesus' eyes are illumined by the light of divine wisdom. Jesus has no fear because he is not deceived by the way things appear in the present moment. Jesus looks beyond the strength of the winds and the power of the waves. He sees beyond his present circumstances. He confronts the storm as one who already knows the outcome, as one who knows his Father's will, as one who is sure, has a sure and certain hope in what his Father will yet accomplish. And this is the great difference between fear and faith. Fear sees things from the perspective of the present, but faith knows the future. Fear defines reality based upon its present appearance, but faith sees things as they shall be according to the will of God. And this is the great light that true faith offers. This is the perspective with which Christ Jesus our Lord now overcomes all adversity, all sin, all death. Indeed, this is the vision that allows Jesus to gain a great victory over the storm of suffering and crucifixion and death. From the perspective of the present, the cross surely appears overwhelming and invincible, inescapable. But Jesus does not view the cross selfishly. He does not define the cross in terms of what he loses, but in terms of what we gain. Jesus views his own suffering and death as one who already knows the outcome. As the author of Hebrews writes, let us look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. From the perspective of the present, the cross is overwhelming and the source of greatest fear. But from the perspective of the resurrection, the cross is an easy yoke and a small burden. Indeed, what is temporary pain compared to everlasting joy? And what is the ridicule of the devil compared to the glory of God? What is the rejection of the world, the cursing of enemies, compared to the singing of angels and the eternal fellowship of the saints? Just as the light allows us to see our surroundings as they truly are, so faith allows us to see reality in the light of God's will, God's plan, and God's intention. And so fear is obsessed with the present, but faith knows the future. While the devil tempts us to consider only what we lack in the present world, our Father calls us to live by the promise of what we shall yet be given in the world to come. And so faith calls us to look beyond present circumstances. Faith is Abraham ignoring the weakness of his own flesh and believing the promise that God would give him a son. And faith is Joseph looking beyond his present imprisonment, believing in the divine promise of glory. And faith is the prophets who call Israel to look beyond their present exile and see the coming day of the Lord. And faith is Jesus enduring the cross with a sure confidence in the resurrection to come and his own enthronement at the right hand of the Father. And dear friends, this same faith is now yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is yours in the truth of the gospel, in the waters of holy baptism, and now in the feast of his supper. Here in the life of the church, it is given unto us to see with new eyes, to define reality from a new perspective, to live our life in the eternal light of God's will. For here it is given to us to know the future, to understand the goal of God's good providence. For God's good will is forever revealed in the person of Jesus Christ and in his resurrection from the dead. In communion with Christ, fear must be replaced by faith, just as darkness must be scattered by the light. Now we are called to look beyond adversity and see God's mercy, and to look beyond sin and see Christ's righteousness and forgiveness, to look beyond suffering and see divine glory, to look beyond the grave and see the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In the light of the resurrection, the storms of this life are not so strong, nor are they so overwhelming. In the light of the resurrection, death itself is now an easy yoke and a small burden. To Christ be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.